Technology always seems to bring out the best in those who like to predict. For example, virtual reality, which many predicted by this point would have completely taken over our lives. That has not been the case. So where does virtual reality stand? We turn to a local expert, Amanda Powell. She is director of iCube at Tennessee Tech, an organization which uses virtual reality to help local businesses. Amanda Powell, thank you for being with us.
Not a problem. Glad to be here.
How would you define virtual reality?
I would say virtual reality is an experience that you get through a headset that takes you out of reality and into another virtual one.
How old is this technology?
It's been around for a long time in research and training, but the consumer version kind of became public more like 5 years ago, I would say.
Is the commercial virtual reality, does it equate to what someone in the technological world or the research world might be using?
I think it's better. The headsets we've seen pictures of from like 10 years ago when they started it, it would take up a whole room. There was like a fulcrum like hanging from the ceiling, like balancing out. And now, because it's so entwined with the gaming community and the entertainment community, it's like leaps and bounds above where you would think it could be. It looks very close to real life.
You bring up gaming, and I think for a lot of us, we think, okay, this is just a gaming thing. Is it more than that?
It definitely is. There's a lot of research out there for training, but also like education. So it can take your experiences and move them forward in ways that you can't with traditional video, traditional textbooks even. So it is very much gaming, very much entertainment, but it can also be edutainment. And that's, I think, where the big power is.
How did you get interested in the topic?
So I've always loved video games. And I was like, virtual reality is video games, kind of like what you said. But our office, I work at iCube at Tennessee Tech. We're part of the College of Business, creating creative solutions for traditional problems is what we like to say. So we looked at virtual reality as another business technology. And our office started getting involved with it's actually the Oculus Rift Developer 2 headset. So it wasn't even a consumer version, but we started having clients that wanted to get involved in it. So our very first virtual reality project, we went down to the Tennessee Aquarium in Chattanooga and made them a river ecosystem conservation experience for them to show kids down there. And that's kind of what started it. And we've been doing it for 7 years.
So what would be the implementation for a business? What would be some of the typical things that you might work on?
So training is big with virtual reality, and our office, we're not experts. We're not like a big group that can make Call of Duty, but we can show small versions of what you need to know. So for example, for business, we worked with one group that wanted to take they have a training room that they would put together, and it'd be like fake buttons you press, fake triggers you pull, and it's all about timing, doing things in the right order, and doing things quickly. So we made a very small experience that kind of tests the same thing, but virtual reality can track your score. It can make it more fun and interesting, and it can also be more affordable, because instead of needing a whole room of technology, all you need is a headset on. And that's pretty applicable to a lot of industry, but we have seen it a lot. We've seen a lot of people want it specifically for training and like automotive industry.
That might surprise people that it can actually be cheaper than the old traditional ways.
Yeah, and creating it can get expensive depending on what you want. But in the long run, training everybody through a headset that's affordable to get once you've made the experience, it really can save a lot of money. And we've seen examples of that across industries.
What's involved in creating a virtual reality experience?
So the first thing is convincing someone that that might be what they want.
Okay.
And that is kind of my job. I don't make it, but I will talk to our clients. They'll tell us they have an issue. And if we think virtual reality would be a good fit, we would kind of discuss what we could create for that. For example, our most recent virtual reality game we did for opioid education. And the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation wanted something that would engage high school, middle school students to learning about stimulants and depressants. And we talked about a lot of different scenarios. They were actually interested in virtual reality. So we ended up making an experience for them that became a game. And that took one very talented artist in our office. She's a 3D artist. And she is also knows enough about programming to be dangerous. So she's our virtual reality manager of development, and she and a student, actually, a Tennessee Tech student, created this whole experience. It took him about a year, but it's the talking to the client, and then I make a wireframe, and then we, our artist and our programmer. That's generally bare minimum what you need. It'd be great to have a team of artists and a team of programmers, but you can get it done now with just that.
Amanda Powell, she's the director of iCube. We're kind of getting all of us older folks a chance to learn a little bit about virtual reality today. Amanda Powell is our guest. She's the director of iCube. They are involved in virtual reality, among other things, on the Tennessee Tech campus. Just before the break, we were talking about the idea of art and design and then the programming part. Is it kind of equal parts of those things?
Well, I like to say you can kind of get around the art. There are assets online you can buy. You could buy a house, or you could make the house from scratch, literally like a ball of like virtual clay. So there are kind of almost shortcuts around the art, but we really like to have very custom art in what we create. But the programming and the programmatic thought you need for it, you can find a line of code that could turn on a light switch in virtual reality, but you really need that thought process of what's going to happen if I turn this light off. So it really is about the people, I think. And I think having an amazing, talented artist and having a programmer to kind of work together can be fun. That was a lot of our job at the beginning, was making the artists and the programmers play nice. But having, I think it's a team. I think it's always a team you need. But definitely, I'd say the programming, you can't really skip on that thought process.
But there's almost like clip art on the art side.
Yeah,
almost.
Yeah. It's interesting. And there are people out there that make a living creating these assets, like a car you can put in your game, a house you can put in your game, a unicorn you could put in your game. It's interesting.
Are there tech students that are training on campus? Is that something that is part of the fields of study on how to do this programming?
It's actually not something they're learning directly, but we like to give them the opportunity to do so. So we've had various groups of students and iCube team members. At one point, we had three full-time programmers, three full-time artists teaching these students, with the goal being we'd get them kind of earlier in their experience, and then they'd train students as they graduated. So it fluctuates with the interest of the students on campus, but we're always looking for people interested because we're always looking to expand and do more projects with VR, and it's hard with a small team.
You're a virtual reality expert, and so one of the reasons that we wanted to talk to you is there seems to be a mixed feeling about virtual reality. On one hand, there are those that say this is going to become the norm, that all of us are going to be immersed in virtual reality in one form or another. There's another group that says, you know, if that was going to happen, it kind of already would have happened because of that consumer part you mentioned that has become so readily available in the last, what, dozen years, that it would have happened, and it hasn't. Where do you come down on that?
I think a lot of very big companies would have to play nice to make that happen. I think there are a lot of good angles being taken by Google, by Apple, by Facebook/Meta. I think there are a lot of different groups working on their own individual projects. And so you'll have a great headset here, but you'll have a great platform over here. So until I think there's like an understanding that, yes, we would all like the virtual world to be the world, I think a lot of people would have to get along that won't. So I think it's going to be quite a while before we're all Ready Player One. If you're familiar with that book, where we're all in headsets and on tracks in our home. I definitely think that is a goal of a lot of people, businesses, but I always think there has to be that human element. So I don't think we'll ever get fully digitized, if that makes sense.
Well, you hear people say that, you know, there won't be, we're going to get to the point soon where you don't need to go on vacation. You can put on the headset and go anywhere in the world that you want to go. And it's, for me, that's kind of hard to imagine that we would. I mean, I'm sure the technology is there, right?
Yeah, it's actually being used. Virtual reality is being used in places for those that can't leave their home, or people that need kind of like a soothing space to be in for therapy. So therapy, those kind of stuck at home or in hospice care, they can use these virtual reality headsets to get at least temporarily out of the space they're in. And that's like a big part of virtual reality is this feeling of presence. And they define that as being somewhere physically, but thinking you're somewhere else. And you can reach that in a way. You can't get that breeze on your face. But if you see a tree blowing in virtual reality, you might think you are getting that breeze on your face. So you can get pretty far away from reality. But I think we're all really just going to like going to Disney World forever and can't just get that in the headset. But it'd be lovely to be able to be at home and ride one of those rides for a minute and get away and pretend you're there, you know, so.
Are there things that virtual reality cannot do at this point that you as someone who's involved every day would like it to be able to do?
I would love the controls to be a little bit more accessible. I'm a gamer, so I know an Xbox controller if somebody puts one in my hand. Because when you're in a virtual reality headset, you can't really see what you're holding. And so until we get those haptic feedback gloves and I just like move my hands around, I think that's the next step for really feeling immersed and really making it something everyone can do. Because if you're not used to press A, press X, if I say press the Y button and you'll go back, you're not going to know what I'm saying. So it's, I do think that haptic feedback gloves would be the next best step to take.
I was wondering too, when you were talking about like feeling the breeze, like, you know, the virtual rides that you have at Disney World, you know, where they're taking you, you're flying the space shuttle or you're flying into Star Wars and the wind comes at you. You know, is there an ability at some point you think to incorporate that kind of thing with virtual reality?
I definitely think there is. And Disney would probably be the first one to do it. I definitely think you can do it. I think you'd need a little bit more of this space. So you're kind of getting back from fully virtual to, oh, now you do need a space to have some sense come in, have some wind, have the floor move. And there are groups doing that, especially I think there's some interactive arcades out there doing stuff like that. Definitely possible. I don't know how, again, accessible it comes. It kind of always goes back and forth between who can do it, who can't.
Amanda Powell is our guest. We're talking virtual reality. Tennessee Tech's iCube department working on virtual reality. They do a lot of different things. Amanda Powell is here with us. She's the director of iCube. What are the negatives of virtual reality?
I like to say there are no negatives, but obviously there are. I haven't seen a lot of things that have made me scared for VR. I've seen a lot of good things that I could see becoming bad things. Part of my dissertation, I was looking at how they're using virtual reality for research. And a lot of what I saw was conservation education. You cut a tree down in virtual reality, you're going to be less likely to use a bunch of paper towels to clean up a mess than if you watched a video about deforestation. And that's something they studied. So I do think there are some things that virtual reality can trick your mind into thinking is real long enough for you to change your behavior. And I think that's awesome when you see it used for good. But, you know, you could have somebody make a scary simulation and you could think it was real and you could change your whole life based on something you saw. And I do think there's the ability for virtual reality to do that. So it really does have a lot to do with who's developing it and what is their purpose. But overall, there was a thing called cyber sickness for a while, and a lot of people couldn't use headsets. Some people thought it was because you were moving in virtual reality, but your body was stationary. Some people thought you needed a extra view down below so you could see the real world a little bit. But basically what it came down to, it seems, is frame rate and the ability of your computer to catch up with what you're seeing. So if you turn your head and the door isn't there, it takes a few seconds to catch up. That's really what was doing it. And they've made a lot of advancements for that. So physically speaking, I think it's become something. It's not going to make people as sick. But yeah, there are some potential scary things that people could make that you could experience.
That's interesting, though, about being used for evil. And I mean, you think about things like warfare and trying to convert people's thoughts to specific ideas. That's interesting. Don't know where that goes exactly, but, you know, it's something that probably you didn't think about. I kind of get the sense that while you are, and tell me if I'm wrong, that while you are extremely interested in virtual reality, you still at its heart believe it's just a tool in the tool bag.
Yeah, I like to think people are still needed. We get a lot of questions. My background's in education, and everybody's like, oh, it's going to replace teachers. I think virtual reality is and always will be a tool. I don't think it'll be a replacement. And there's a lot of people that disagree with me. I don't even think I'm particularly a people person, But I like to think that if you use something like artificial intelligence, if you ask ChatGPT a question, he's going to give you an answer, whether he knows the answer or not. And I just don't think we'll ever get that space where it's going to replace human thought. Maybe some human thoughts, but I don't think all of them. I think we'll hopefully always have a little bit of a leg up on that.
The whole school thing, the whole college courses, you know, that's talked about a lot. You won't need to do that. You can use virtual reality to do that. But there's still something about the human connection. And especially with education, there's still the socialization that goes on human to human, which I'm not sure a computer can do.
Yeah, in virtual reality, you could meet up in a space, but you can't see everything. Like, even just body language. Like, you're seeing an avatar of a person. I just don't think you can get that emotional connection with a VR space. And I've had a lot of emotional experiences in VR. I have. But I just think it's different. It's always going to be different. I can't visit a scene in my favorite movie in real life that was animated that I did. And I cried a little. I loved it. Virtual reality let me do that. But I don't think if I'd met my husband in virtual reality, I'd like him as much as I do in real life. So
You visited a scene in a movie?
Yeah. I really like, it was Spirited Away. It's a anime. It was fully cartoon movie. Somebody made a scene in it. And it's just one scene you step into. It's these little creatures carrying soot into a fire. And wow. I cried because I was there. I was in the movie. It was great. I loved it.
Amanda Powell is our guest.